We're talking about Tetrionics. You conceive that, created that as a tool to instrument to understand how, from the quantum level upwards, the whole of the universe can be understood in those terms. And one of the ideas which keeps on coming up again and again is that there is this explicit distinction between mass and matter. We've already talked about that in many different ways, and I asked you to help me understand, help everybody understand, how the electromagnetic charge fields, which are in the mass or the energy domain, actually drive and move the matter, which is in the physical domain. We've already spoken about the two-dimensional nature of mass in Tetrionics. Everybody can play with the templates, cut out the triangles, put them on the table, and see how that all fits together. And also, we already discussed how you can then put the triangles together in little tetrahedra and see that that is the basis of all the particles that physics knows of. But I was wondering about the connection between these electromagnetic fields and the domain of matter, and specifically, for example, how a single tetrion, one of these tetrahedral physical structures, would be driven about or moved about by the electromagnetic field. Because the electromagnetic field composed of triangles, the tetrahedron composed of triangles, all of them are electrically charged. But how do they connect up? Yes, they are charged on the plus and the minus side, on the one and the other side. Of course, they must be able to pull each other along, but how in tetrions can that be modeled and understood? So that's the question which I had in my mind, and I hope that you would be able to help me and others to understand the game involved.
Right. In a nutshell, to answer that, we'll probably have to do a couple, a two-part or a three-part discussion, because the important point that I'll probably cover tonight is how tetrionics differentiates between mass and matter. And then the second part, we can probably cover how material objects are accelerated or influenced by the fields of mass energy surrounding them and in between them, in between different particles. So if we start with probably the most important part, which is the differentiation, how tetrionics geometrically defines and differentiates between 2D mass energies and 3D matter, which is something that physics doesn't do, because physics by design or by concept is the study of the motion of matter, material objects and how they move or are moved, etc. And from that, a number of misconceptions have crept in the definitions and in how we formulate and work out the physics of mass and matter. And as a consequence, the two words get interchanged in physics in a frightening amount of ways and times. They're almost synonymous with each other, even though there is a distinct definition in physics between the two. It's not rigidly enforced, even by the best minds out there. They tend to use the word mass, as in the mass of a planet, when they should be referring to the matter of a planet, or at least, at the very least, the mass matter of a planet, etc. So without labouring on the points, I'll try and jump through here and cover the basics so as to give people a good grounding on how we define and differentiate mass, energy and matter. Because that's along with geometry and quantized angular momentum, is one of the foundational points you have to get your head around. Once you get your head around that and the terminology that comes with it, what seems like a big word salad of terms that I often use, you'll discover is very deliberate and very precise whereas most physics isn't. The first slide is probably the one you see the most, which is what I call the EM, mass, energy, matter, meme, or the illustration. And it simply has three large triangles in it and two smaller ones at the bottom. The first one is simply mass, which, again, we have the equations there, and you'll see that the equation, the unified field equation for mass, is simply n pi, or a number of pi geometries, by mass omega mu squared. In this case, you can abbreviate, where you see mass omega, you can just say Planck's constant. It's one and the same. It's just a deliberate wording so far as tetrionics, as to the formulation. But you'll see here that whereas mass has n pi and
Calvin,
a number of geometries.
What's the number of the slide you're referring to?
This is the EM, mass, energy, matter slide. I'll send you another copy so you know, you can see exactly which one it is. It's not a numbered tetrionic illustration. It's what I call a meme.
Yes.
It's a general illustration summarizing.
Three
triangles in it. As you can see, the first one is an orange triangle which highlights the equilateral geometry of quantized angular momentum. I'll cover that shortly. The middle one is just an electromagnetic field, Planck's constant. It's the quantum of energy with its associated square root linear momentum. And then on the right-hand side, we have a quantum of matter, or a tetrion, and its formulation in the unified field equation is tau pi, or T pi geometries, and that just stands for, T is an abbreviation for 4n. The quantum, the tetrion, which is the quantum of matter, a 3D topology, has four sides to it, and that's the building block of everything. So by definition, all matter will have 4n pi geometries. In the case of quarks and leptons, they are 12 pi geometry, so 3 times 4. In the case of baryons, they are 36, so 9 times 4. So the tetrion is the building block of matter. The real distinction here is the fact that mass, when you look at the unified field equation, is n pi per c squared, whereas matter is tau pi per c to the fourth. Now, the c squared is always a planar geometry. If you print out the templates in tetrionics, they're printed out on a flat sheet, printed on both sides. So for all intents and purposes, we call that a 2D planar geometry. We won't get into semantics like some people prefer to do. It's a 2D planar geometry. Whereas when you fold four of those triangles to form a tetrion, you're creating a 3D topology. It's no longer planar. It has an X, Y, and Z component. It creates a closed volume within those four triangles. They fold together, they create a continuous surface of charge, and within that charged surface, a displacement volume is created, if you like. So you need at least four charged surfaces, or four Higgs bosons, however you want to term them. You need four of them to create a tetrion, and they can have differing amounts of Planck quanta within each of those four charged fascia. So you might have a basic tetrion that makes up neutrinos, which only has four quanta making up the topology, whereas the tetrion that makes up an electron or a quark or a baryon has 1 by 10 to the 19 Planck quanta per charged fascia. So it's the the number of Planck quanta in the charged fascia of matter that creates the differing amounts of mass, along with their energies in their chem fields. But that's aside. The energies in chem fields, because they're planar, are again mass energies. They're not a component of matter. They're additional to the matter. And that's how we differentiate. If we talk mass in tetrionics, we're referring to planar geometries. If we talk matter, we're talking about 3D standing wave topologies. By standing wave, I mean an arrangement of four N charged fascia where their electromagnetic energies are in a continuous flux within that topology, moving round and round. That's what gives substance to matter. It's a physical topology. When you make them using the templates, you end up with objects that sit on the desk and rise up above them. That's what matter is. Whereas when you make EM fields, etc., they sit on the surface and they don't project upwards. They're just a flat geometry. And I tend to use the word geometry to refer to 2D and topology for 3D, so as to keep everything straight. Now, to explain the difference between the C squared and the C to the fourth, which is the difference between mass and matter in the unified field equation, what we have to cover is a brief explanation of space-time coordinate systems. In order to measure mass or matter or any form of energy, whatever form that energy may take, be it mass or matter, within a region of space, we have to define the coordinate system that we measure it in. Tetrionics tries to simplify this and build it in and equate it as it is within the mathematics, in that we have one-dimensional forces which are measured as a vector force in one direction. So we use light as the basis of our coordinate systems, or the basis of how we create the coordinate systems. So in the case of a vector force, we just have a linear vector in the x direction. And to achieve that in using light, we just have a beam of light traveling in one direction, which is, of course, as illustration 1.02 shows, is just C. So if you see energy divided by C, or mass times C, it's indicating a vector force, and particularly in the case of mass times C, because then we're talking about the momentum, for example, the linear momentum of light, the vector beam of light traveling in one direction at the speed of C. If you have two beams, or if you, sorry, let me correct myself, all light normally radiates in all directions from its point source. Light is composed of bidirectional vector forces. There's a positive and a negative component to all photons and EM waves. So if you have two beams spreading outwards from the central point, as illustrated in 1.02, you have C times C. And you can use that C squared spatial coordinate or measurement of time to create radial spatial coordinate systems. So in the case of C squared, you're creating these circles or ripples per unit of time. So one light second would be out to the distance of the one indicated there. Two light seconds would be twice as far, etc., etc., expanding outwards from the source in two directions. You could think of this C squared as being the pi C squared of the circles they create, or you could think of it as a diameter of the circle being created. Whatever works, but that's the basics. So where you see mass equals energy divided by c squared. We're talking about the energy per c squared spatial coordinate. In this case, c squared would be planar because it's still mass energies. They're radiating outwards. So we have a circle in tetrionics drawn around triangles. So you'll have any number of triangles and there'll be a circle around it. The moment you see a circle around it, you can infer c squared or per c squared. Energy per c squared, you just immediately infer mass. You can then expand these two vector directions, the x and the y, the planar coordinates, further with another additional vector or another additional axis, in which case we would have c cubed. That's best describing x, y, and z, which is a Cartesian coordinate system, a cubic rectilinear grid system for measuring volumes of space. We're no longer planar, we have a z component. So we can measure material objects, 3D matter, within those volumes of space. And of course, we can take it one further and have c to the fourth, which is c squared by c squared. And if you think about that, a circle times a circle creates a sphere. So in the case of c to the fourth, we now have a spherical volume of space per unit of time in which we can measure mass and matter or material objects. The advantage of using c to the fourth will become apparent very shortly. But c to the fourth will pop up a lot of the time in relativistic formulations, general relativity in particular. You'll see c to the fourth. You'll see c to the third or cubic c cubed pop up in entropy, which indicates that it's really working in Cartesian coordinate system still, when we should be working in c to the fourth. Illustration 1.03 then just summarizes what I said. So in the case of measuring forces, we use one-dimensional vector lines, c, to measure planar geometries of energy. We use c squared, which is an x and a y, c by c. That moment you see the circle again around an equilateral triangle, you have energy, equilateral energy within the circle, you have a measurement of mass. And you can then say that that triangle in a circle is actually a measure of energy per radial light second. I just add light, it's not mentioned in the diagram, but it helps to be even more precise. So the energy contained in a spatial coordinate system that created by light in 1 second or n seconds. You of course have the Cartesian coordinates c cubed, and we have this c to the fourth, which is c squared by c squared. The reason why c to the fourth and c squared are so convenient is because one is the square of the other. C squared squared is c to the fourth. So whereas we have mass as a measure of energy per radial light second, matter would be a measure of energy per radial light second squared, because we have xy by xy creating this spherical coordinate system. So in tetrionics, all energy, which makes up everything in the universe, has an equilateral geometry. The geometry comes about, as illustrated in 1.07, because it's a measure of the quantized angular momentum of energy itself. Planck's constant has units of kilograms, meters squared per second. Meters squared per second is quantized angular momentum. It's also ordinary angular momentum, but in the case of quantum mechanics, we're talking about quantized angular momentum, and it's denoted in tetrionics with omega. Now, here's a big point that needs to be made, hence why this has an illustration all to itself, and that is, in every textbook to date, quantized angular momentum is described as a vector rotation about a point. It even has the name spin in some cases. And what tetrionic departure from all other theories at present is that it shows that this vector rotation about a point that's been assumed to be that is in fact an equilateral geometry. The equilateral geometry, the triangular geometry, gives us the squared numbers that you see there at the top right-hand side of the illustration. 1, 4, 9, 16, etc. down the right-hand side, which are the sum of 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, all the odd numbers. But where you see quantized angular momentum or square meters per second in textbooks, you should now, in tetrionics, replace that vector rotation, that spin, with an equilateral triangle. The equilateral triangle still has an area of square meters. The square root of it is a vector direction of x meters. And per second, again, as we said, is a measure of how far light can travel, or what radial spatial coordinate can be created by light in 1 second, c squared. The triangles themselves are Planck quanta. So, for example, in this illustration here, 107, we have a number in the largest triangle. We have a number of triangles. So it's n Planck quanta, which is the same as energy. So the equilateral triangle made up of Planck quanta, whose geometries are their angular momentum, or quantized angular momentum, gives us energy per second, or energy divided by c squared, which is mass. Mass omega is Planck's constant, kilograms square meters per second. Whereas most physics books will see the kilograms square meters per second and say a spin or a form of charge, etc., tetrionics shows us that while that can still be interpreted as the case, the reality is the square meters is the equilateral geometry. The per second is a spatial measurement to give us the mass. And that's what Planck's constant is about. The reason why it's called a constant is because the angular momentum creates, or this equilateral geometry creates, the measurement of angular momentum. If you change or increase or decrease the number of triangles, they still have this equilateral geometry. So it's a scaling constant, a geometric constant that's hidden within the square meters per second. 1.15, I'll just briefly touch on. That quantized angular momentum, the equilateral geometry, is what creates charge at the quantum scale. It creates a positive or a negative charge on either side of that equilateral triangle. Every quantum of energy has a positive and negative charged fascia, with a positive or a negative electric field, and a north-south or south-north magnetic moment. And when you get more familiar with tetrionics, you'll see that charge has SI units of kilograms seconds. Again, energy per second, energy within the second, creating mass, and a temporal measurement of seconds. The quantized angular momentum, even though it's an equilateral geometry, as I mentioned before, can be interpreted as a spin or as a vector rotation about a point. And we draw that vector rotation in tetrionics, as you can see there, faded out into the background to equate the equilateral geometry of charged fields to quantum inductive loops. Won't discuss that any further here, but that's why the circles are within the triangles in this case. It's not a temporal measurement. If it was time we're talking about, that would be seconds or C squared, as shown in the top center of the illustration, circumscribed around the triangle. Charge or inductive loops or quantized angular momentum can be drawn as a vector rotation within the triangle. That's all I'll touch on there. What this understanding of quantized angular momentum and the geometries that it creates, the triangular forms of energy that create planar mass and standing wave matter topologies, then allows us to do is it allows us to differentiate energy in all its forms. And that's what illustration 1.20 is about. It shows us that we can take the equilateral triangles of Planck's constant, the quantum of energy momenta, and we can now define it as 2D mass energy geometries or as 3D matter topologies. So we've now got a, even though everything's made up of equilateral energies, Planck's constant, we can now define geometrically and differentiate between mass, which is energy per second, or per light second, E divided by C squared, and matter, which is energy per C to the fourth, or per light second squared. The light second squared is sort of like a hark back to Newtonian way of thinking about things, second squared. But tetraionics then, as a matter of convention, where we refer to mass, because they have same units of kilograms, we keep mass as a lowercase m in all cases, wherever it's written, and we use lowercase kg for kilograms for the units. And for matter, standing wave topologies, we use a capital M, because unfortunately, matter starts with M, as does mass, and we have to differentiate in equations. So a capital M for matter, and again, if we're just using the SI units of kilograms, if we're referring to kilograms of matter, it's capital KG, and you'll see that popping up here and there throughout tetraionics. So just to look at Planck's constant and energy momenta now, we move on to 2.21, and this illustration again shows us mass energy, and we can see that because we have the equilateral triangle of Planck's constant, energy, momenta. Now the momenta can refer to the linear momentum P, which is a vector force, energy divided by C, or mass times C. And you can see the small lowercase m in this case in the triangle. We have units, therefore, of kilograms, scalar square meters per second. That's Planck's constant. And that's why Planck's constant is the building block. You can see that we have a number of formulas there. I won't go into great detail. But in tetraionics, instead of having the italic H for Planck's constant, you'll more than likely see it expressed as mass omega for a number of reasons. But by expressing it as mass omega, I can then use a single unified field equation that you'll see popping up. That can be read as Newtonian mv squared for energy, or you can then read it as mass omega nu squared, because they all have the same symbols. Again, problems with symbols in math are cropping up, but mass omega, which is Planck's constant h, nu squared is also energy. So a generic formulation for energy is just mass omega nu squared, because every equilateral geometry is a squared geometry. They form squared numbers. Energy per c squared is a measure of mass. So again, if the circle was not around Planck's constant here, we would just have a measure of energy, momenta. But because there's a circle, we're talking mass, energy, momenta. The omega component per c squared is important because that gives us charge. Quantized angular momentum divided by c squared is the quantum source of charge. And if when you do the math, you'll find that the quantum of charge is 1/12 that of the elementary charge. So there's 12 charges to make an electron. So there's 12 charged fascia to make an electron. That covers that side of it. So then illustration 5.08 then shows us energy in the second, in the center, sorry, the big E, which is how energy is donated in tetrionics. And then to the left of it, we have a measure of mass, which is energy per c squared. You can rewrite that to be just a energy density, as in rho, divided by c squared. Reading to the right-hand side, we have matter, which is E divided by c to the fourth, or E per light second squared, which again can be an energy density per light second squared. Capital M for matter, lowercase m for mass. And then you see at the top of the illustration, we can have positive charged fields and negative charged fields of mass, energy, momenta. These charged fields are made up of positive and negative Planck quanta. They are planar, flat sheets of paper, or of energy in this case. Whereas matter at the bottom are tetrahedral geometries. Sorry, tetrahedral topologies. They still have mass within that matter topology because the charged fascia have planar mass energies. So you can actually say mass-matter topologies or mass-energy-matter topologies. The interesting point is that radiant 2D equilateral geometries can form matter topologies. But the property of matter topologies is not a property of 2D geometries. That is to say, you can have mass-matter topologies, but you can't have a mass topology. Any topology that has mass is matter. It's a subtle distinction, but we'll expand on that a little bit further as we go. So 6.01 just summarizes what we've been saying, in particular about matter. 2D energy densities per second are mass geometries. They're triangles of planar energy. 3D energy densities per second squared are usually cubic measurements of space that encompass matter topologies, 3D matter topologies, which again can be definitely are comprised of 2D mass energies. So energy, mass is a property of matter. Matter is not a property of mass. It's a inequivalence, if you like. And you can see there, again, the unified field equation, or tetrionics unified field equation for matter. in this case particularly for tetrions, which is 4n pi. That's the topology, the tetrahedral geometry of the EM fields, which is epsilon omega mu omega, which is really equal to 1 over c squared by mass omega nu squared, which is Planck's constant, or a squared number of Planck's constant. So you can read that as Planck quanta within an EM field, or mass velocity within an electromagnetic field. Either way, and this is why I split it and specify the omega. It helps emphasize that omega is an equilateral geometry of energy. The quantized angular momentum is the geometry of energy. It's not a vector rotation. It creates charge, etc., and features like that, but it is a physical equilateral geometry. And that geometry, measured per second, gives us mass, and measured per second squared gives us mass matter, or more generally, matter. Now, 605 just shows us how mass creates matter. I won't go into great detail here, but suffice to say that a single equilateral geometry of energy, single Planck quantum, is either a positive or a negative charged field. Two of those fields can come together in four different arrangements. There are only positive and negative fields. They can only create via the weak force, as illustrated. Positive and negative electrostatic fields with no magnetic moments, or neutralized magnetic moments, or how will I put this? Two forms of magnetic fields, or magnetostatic fields, where the magnetic field is enhanced and the electric field is neutralized. Positive and negative cancel out to become a neutral. So we don't measure the electric field, even though it still exists within a magnetic field. We see the enhanced magnetic field. Whereas electrostatic fields are perceived as having no magnetic field, but an electric field. They're just one of the four forms that these two charged Planck quanta can form. Now, those photons of electric or magnetic fields can then come together and form larger and larger EM fields, as illustrated in the center of the picture. And in that case, any arrangement of four fields, be it positive, negative, or neutral, as shown there, can, under the right conditions, form tetrahedral topologies, or tetrions. And if you look at the arrangements of plus and minus charges within those planar mass energy fields, you'll see that they form either positive and negative tetrions, or matter quanta, or neutral matter quanta, neutral tetrions, where the positive and the negatives equal out. But that's the general process of how mass energy fields create matter quantums, and those quantums then go on to interact via their charges, positive and negative. Even the neutral ones have two positive and two negative in them. So even a neutral particle have opposite charged fascia that will either bring them together, or similar charged fascia that will cause them to be repelled. And that's what starts to bring matter together. Light, or mass energy, momenta, begets material topologies that creates the physical side of our universe. But the bosons and photons, the mass energy geometries, still exist, and they're now quite distinct. Historically, physics has focused on matter topologies and called them mass or matter. Tetrionics now splits them up And as per 6.08, we now clearly define and differentiate between mass energy on the, as in the four planar geometries on the left-hand side of the illustration, and matter topologies on the right-hand side. They're drawn to indicate, as best as I can in a 2D illustration, 3D topologies. And again, this is why I keep stressing to people, print the templates and make the models. Because when you print the templates and make the models, as you see in the YouTube videos, etc., you will see and come to appreciate this geometry topology, the mass-matter differentiation, and how easy it is once you get the terminology right, once you understand planar geometries versus matter topologies, once you understand that and get the basics right, everything else becomes a lot simpler. The model making is key. This bit of understanding is important. I won't touch on inertia and force here, other than to say 14.02 breaks down and explains inertia and force. Force being a vector force in one direction. So as we were talking before, scalar energies, the equilateral triangles, have an associated square root linear momentum. Energy divided by C, which is the one direction. C again comes into this, a vector force. Energy divided by C is momentum, which is the same thing as mass times C. So, and then if you go mass times C by C, which is the same as linear momentum times C, or mv squared, which is energy. So they're all related through the geometry. Tetrionics shows the linear momentum as a series of diamond shaped photons running up the median bisector, forming the median bisector of each equilateral triangle. The vector force is the arrow. Very similar to each other. One is a vector force, a line if you like, which is velocity. Mass velocity, which is momentum, are these photons, the scalar triangles, bisecting the equilateral triangle. I won't discuss it any further. There's notes on there to go through there, and we can cover it in other discussions. The reason why I brought it up is 1403 shows us what we can now define energy to be. Previously, or up to now, in physics, energy is a nebulous, ill-defined, if at all defined, term. There's no shape to it. There's no real definition, apart from that. It's the mathematical equations that describe it. There's no tangible geometry to it. Tetrionics now gives us a tangible geometry. Again, quantized angular momentum, the omega of Planck's constant, is the equilateral geometry, the triangle itself. It creates squared numbers, or equilateral numbers as I prefer to call them. But if you look at the illustration here, you can see that energy measured in joules, normally written out as E equals NH nu, is actually, in effect, E equals H nu squared. Is far better for reasons that we won't go into here, but it's to do with bosons and photons and energy. Energy is H nu squared in tetrionics, an equilateral number of Planck quanta. You can see there the various formulas and the various ways of measuring and calculating for energy, how it's defined. It can be defined as mass times velocity squared, V squared, nu squared, same thing. For each Planck quanta that's added to the energy, the velocity that field can create for a particle increases. So nu and V for velocity, are directly related and coincidentally have very similar symbols in the mathematics. Again, creeping in to create confusion, but it works out in this case. You can also express energy, as I did in the previous illustration, as momentum times velocity, momentum times p by c, or m times c, mv squared. Mv squared is more appropriate because mc squared is specific only to certain circumstances, for light, for example, or for the mass contained within matter. Mv squared is the more general formula, and it relates back to the velocity that can be created. C is just the velocity of light, so it's more appropriate to say mv squared rather than mc squared and make a mistake where you're trying to refer to something further on. And of course, we can also express energy as Planck's quanta per second, h nu squared per second, or the number of Planck quanta, equilateral number of Planck quanta, squared number of Planck quanta per second. And those Planck quanta are measures of mass, energy, momentum that can create a force. And the forces are measured in newtons of force, which are vector forces, as opposed to scalar energy. And again, the scalar energy is an equilateral geometry. How does all this energy relate to mass and matter, apart from the geometry and the topology, as we said? 1706 gives a summary of how it does. There's more in the quantum mechanics of the individual topologies and the individual geometries. But in this case, what we're showing here, in essence, is that the mass energy geometries, or charge mass energy geometries in particular, create various matter topologies or particle shapes, physical material particles. You can see here at the top in the box in green, the matter topology is determined by the geometry of the charged Planck quanta. So as positive and negative charges come together via our tetraon genesis, we create various particles. But what we measure as an elementary charge in the standard model of physics is in fact a reflection of the charged topology of the matter. The mass, charged mass energies create closed volumes and specific particle topologies. In this case, on the top left, you see that we have leptons. We have positive and negative leptons, which are positrons and electrons. And we also have neutral leptons, where there's an equal number of positive and negative charges, and they're known as neutrinos. The positrons have every charge fascia are positive charges. There's 12. And in the case of electrons, they are made up entirely of negative charged fascia. So they become a negative 12 charge, which is equivalent to a negative 1 charge in the standard model. So again, just as we have quantum charges are 1/12 of the elementary, the matter topology, the elementary charge in the standard model, reflects the charge distribution within a particle's topology. To emphasize that, the bottom right-hand corner has two particles in one field. We have a photon made up of a positive and negative Planck quanta, so 2 pi per c squared. It has two charges, but a net charge of 0. So photons are neutral. Beside that, we have an electron, which has 12 negative charged fascia, and that numbering is actually incorrect. It shouldn't be 12 minus 24. It should be 0 minus 12. It's just an error. I'll have to fix that. But then again, despite having 12 charged fascia, there are actually 1.2 by 10 to the 20 Planck quanta making up an electron. So each charged fascia has 1 by 10 to the 19 Planck quanta or mass energy geometries within each charged fascia. Now you can call these charged fascia, as I do, charged fascia, or you can term them Higgs bosons. We won't go into that now, but it's something to bear in mind. The proton, which has an equal but opposite elementary charge to the electron, has a completely different matter topology. It has 24 positive charged fascia and 12 negative, comprised three quarks or 36 Higgs bosons, however you want to term it. But its charged topology, as you see there, is completely different to that of an electron, even though it has an identical but opposite charge, elementary charge. And you can also see there that the proton has 2.25 by 10 to the 23 Planck quanta, far more, well, almost 2,000 more Planck quanta, 2,000 times more Planck quanta than the electron. So if you're thinking of particles like the electron and the proton, the charged mass energies create the matter topology of each one, and they are unique. But what we measure as an elementary charge is just a measure of how many charged fascia or Higgs bosons create that matter topology. Of course, you can also, as we make these particles, you can also reverse the process, where you to collapse the matter topologies, crush them, for example, you would create mass or release mass from the matter. And that's where Einstein's E equals mc squared starts, or has been incorrectly applied to the process. E equals mc squared is simply a statement of the fact that energy is per second, or E divided by C squared, is equivalent to mass. It's been incorrectly used to say that the energy released from matter is governed by E equals mc squared. It's not, because we'll see very shortly that mass and matter and energy are distinctly different because of their temporal measurements. You've got energy, which is a snapshot in time of a system's energy momenta. You've got mass, which is energy per second, and you have matter, which is energy per second squared. So just as a summary, 17.07 now shows you what we can now build and differentiate using nothing more than equilateral energy momenta, or Planck's constant, where the angular momentum is the equilateral geometry. You can see that we have a zero-point field, which is the Planck quantum, a positive or negative charge. And from that, we can make tetrions, we can make quarks, we can make leptons, baryons, etc. We can calculate the amount of Planck quanta in every charged surface of each particle. Or we can, another way of saying that is, we can calculate for the mass of each matter topology. And that's what we do there on the right-hand side. Using tetrionics, we can then calculate for the mass energy, which is, energy is just a measure of mass. Mass is just a measure of energy per second. and matter is energy per second squared. So we can now not only calculate for their respective masses, but we can also, because of the quantized angular momentum of Planck's constant and the fact that it is an equilateral geometry, we can actually build physical models of each and every one of these particles, the tetrions, the quarks, the electrons, or the leptons, and the baryons, which is something that the standard model cannot do. Because firstly, it doesn't understand what quantized angular momentum is. And secondly, it doesn't, because it can't do that, it can't differentiate between mass and matter like tetrionics does. We now know that a planar geometry of energy per second is mass. A material topology of energy per second squared is matter. And another way of saying that would be to say, instead of energy per second squared, would be to say mass per second. So you have energy per second is mass, mass per second is matter. We'll cover that very shortly. So just to recap, 20.03 is an illustration of radiant mass energy geometries. If you've been following, you'll see immediately that we've got equilateral energies, Planck's quanta, within c squared spatial coordinates. So that would be energy divided by c squared, or energy per light second, which is mass, often referred to as mass energy, depending on whether you're expressing one or the other. It's commonplace. Mass energy is, as I say, is planar. It can have a positive or negative charge, or a mixture of both. And they form bosons in the case of equilateral or odd number geometries, and photons in the case of trapezoidal or diamond-shaped even-numbered geometries, and EM waves, where a number of photons combine. 20.04 just explodes on the positive and negative charges. And again, quantized angular momentum are the geometry of energy and mass. They then make up the matter topologies, or create matter topologies. The squared numbers that you find throughout physics, wherever you see a squared number, think an equilateral geometry, particularly in the case of energy. It's these equilateral energy momenta, the Planck quanta, that are the foundation of all the forces of all mass and all matter in the universe. If you take these equilateral Planck quanta out of the universe, all you have is empty space. Literally, there's no light, there's no heat, there's no objects, there's no forces. Everything is made up of these triangles of energy. So the primordial existence of the universe without energy is just a region of space that cannot even be measured, because we don't have light with which to make the coordinate systems in which to measure it. So energy is everything, or particular equilateral EM energy is everything. It creates, energy per second creates mass, and energy per second squared is a measure of matter. Now, 20.05 just labours on a point that I mentioned before, and that is that 3D matter topology, material objects, are not a property of 2D mass energies. That's to say, mass energy, planar sheets of energy, make up matter. But matter is not a property of mass or energy. Matter is simply energy per second squared. So if you think of it that way, you can divide c squared into c to the fourth, but you can't divide c to the fourth into c squared. the dimensionality is such that a material object is made up of mass energy, but mass energies do not have a property of matter under these definitions, because matter is a three-dimensional measurement of mass energy. Just skipping through the numbers here, just so we can get to the more important ones, because we're going on. 6404 then separates and highlights the difference between geometry and topology in tetrionics, or the difference between mass and matter. Whereas in physics, currently, they are just words. They have some definitions, but they're not rigorously applied. Tetrionics now differentiates between the two. As I said, geometry, energy per second. Topology, 3D, energy per second squared. Where you see topology, you think material particles. Where you see geometry, think fields, charges, EM waves, photons. All your flat sheets of energy that make up matter. 6404, in that one, what I'm trying to point out here is that starting from the two Planck quanta, or the two sides of the one Planck quanta, which is a positive and a negative charge, we can build every field and every particle. Now, of particular importance are chem fields, kinetic EM fields. They're the fields associated with particles where, when a force is applied and the particle is set in motion, the energies of motion are stored in the chem field. Now, the chem field is distinct from the matter, again, for the same reasons. A chem field is a mass energy geometry. The matter is a material topology. Matter, when a force is applied, stores the energy in the chem field. The chem field points, in all cases, in the direction of motion. So the square root of the chem field is the linear momentum. It's the vector direction of motion. That's where the relativistic energies of motion are stored. And the arrangement of Planck quanta within those chem fields always reflects the charge of the particle in motion. It's always a neutral, but the arrangement is always reflective. If you see this illustration here, you'll see that the positive tetrion has a chem field above it, which has a net positive charge. The negative tetrion chem field has a net negative charge. Those charge arrangements are important because the immaterial, the non-3D chem fields are what create all the forces of interaction. Why particles, similar particles repel, and why opposite charge particles attract. It's the arrangement of the Planck quanta within those fields of mass energy, momenta, that creates those forces and transfers those forces. Now, traditionally, a positive charge and a negative charge field is viewed or drawn as having, in the case of a positive, positive charges pointing outwards, and in the case of the negative, negative charges pointing inwards. Tetrionics shows us that this is not the case. As you see when the chem field's drawn there, even a negative charge field has some positive quanta. This is why a negative particle will repel a similar negative particle, because if you look at the negative, a bit hard to see on that one, but if you look at the negative negative quanta on that illustration in the chem field, you see that they point away from the negative particle, whereas the positive point towards it. So in tetraonics, I would say that the negative quanta on a negative particle are divergent, and the positive quanta in the chem field of a negative particle are convergent. We'll cover that again, no doubt, in other discussions on probably the next one, where we're talking about particles surfing chem fields, etc. It's this arrangement of divergent and convergent quanta within the chem fields that create these forces of interaction. So to correct the way we draw positive and negative charge fields, in the case of a positive field, you want to restart this.
Yes, this is a very good idea to restart the recording here, because the sound is actually collapsing.
Yeah. Okay. Pick this up again shortly.